In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, all God's angels and saints. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus said in reply, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good evening. Years ago, I was reading a book on devotions. And the book kind of fascinated me because this author said that every day of the week, he had a specific devotion. And said that on Sunday was the day in which he would honor the Blessed Trinity in ways in which he could really cultivate a different relationship to the one God in three persons, which, of course, is the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. Then on Monday, he decided that that would be the day to pray for the souls in purgatory. Not to say that he didn't pray other day, but intensely to pray for the souls in purgatory. Then Tuesday was the day in which he would honor the angels. Interesting. The angels. Wednesday would be to honor St. Joseph, which we as Oblates do have St. Joseph as our patron. We honor him on Wednesday when there's no obligatory Mass. We celebrate the Mass in honor of St. Joseph. And it's been our custom to have a concelebrated Mass when the priests are healthy and we have enough priests. Thursday, to honor the Mass and to pray for priests. That was a day in which Jesus instituted both the Holy Eucharist as well as Holy Orders. Friday, today, would be the Passion of Christ. And then Saturday would be the day in which he'd honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. I remember reading that maybe 35 years ago, and I never forgot that. I kind of liked that. Not that if you don't do it, it's a sin, but it might be an inspiration for you to have these devotions. So let's go follow up on this theme. May is the month of Mary. October is the month of the Holy Rosary. November is the month in which we pray for the dead. December is Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Immaculate Conception. July is the precious blood of Jesus. And finally, June, we only have a few more days of June, is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And today happens to be the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that'll be my topic today. We've been talking about Divine Mercy, but I thought given today is the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart that I would talk about that this week, and the following week pick up our text of Saint Faustina. I wonder, do any of you have devotion to the Sacred Heart? Not that much. Well, I've had it for 40 years. I think maybe I attribute my vocation to consecrating our family to the Sacred Heart in the, I think it was in the late 70s, early 70s, and I thought called more and more to the priesthood. So I've loved the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and hopefully most of you who don't have that devotion will have it today, because today is the feast day of the Sacred Heart. So that'll be my thrust to try to encourage within us whose maybe our hearts are cold to the Sacred Heart, and maybe we'll change today. Pray for a new heart. Okay, liturgically, it doesn't always follow on June 23rd. So I'll give you a theological, liturgical perspective, and then I'm going to be suggesting ways that we can cultivate in our lives a real love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So this is the order. Easter, the Ascension, Easter, okay, Easter, 8 days, Divine Mercy, Easter season, culminates with the Ascension. The Ascension leads us to Pentecost. With Pentecost, we end what is called the liturgical season of Easter, which lasts 50 days. Then, the Church celebrates almost back to back to back three other great solemnities. First is the Blessed Trinity. And I happen to have been ordained on the Feast of the Blessed Trinity, so for me it's very important. I was ordained May 25th back in 86. That happened to be the Solemnity of the Trinity in which John Paul II ordained me as well as other deacons, priests. So I consider that personally to be a very important day. Then after the Trinity, we've got Corpus Christi, which the popes have encouraged us to have a public manifestation of it by having processions. Where were we that Saturday night? Walking through the streets, Piquin, Normandy, for about an hour, with about 400 people, right? Four priests carrying the Blessed Sacrament, alternating with incense. It's one of the parishes where we're about to consecrate them to Mary, but a really good response. And that's Corpus Christi. Then after Corpus Christi, the Friday after Corpus Christi is when we celebrate the Sacred Heart. So hopefully all of you have that memorized, what I've just said, okay? All of you with your photographic memories will be able to repeat that verbatim when someone asks you, okay? Then the Immaculate Heart of Mary falls the day afterward, except tomorrow, because tomorrow is the birthday of John the Baptist. So the Immaculate Heart of Mary is actually suppressed because of the birthday of John the Baptist. However, I'm going to celebrate it anyway, at least in my heart. I don't know about you people. And as I was saying on Radio Guadalupe in my program yesterday, in a certain sense, it is Immaculate Heart of Mary because the birthday of John the Baptist, Mary went to visit Elizabeth. She greeted Elizabeth. The baby wept and leapt in her womb. And that was through the word of Mary in the silent presence of Jesus Christ. So Mary was actually liberating John the Baptist of original sin by the presence of the incarnate word that was within her womb. Are they too theological in that expression? I guess so. But anyway, I'll try to say it in more hoi polloi jargon, okay? Is that Mary's word, she greeted Elizabeth and the baby leapt in the womb. According to St. Augustine, John the Baptist was freed from original sin by the word of Mary and by the presence of Christ, who is our Savior. So I don't think that the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is totally suppressed, at least not in my theological mind. Hopefully not in yours either. Amen? Okay. So, how are we going to honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Okay, to motivate you, Jesus appeared to a French nun in the end of the 17th century, which would be the 1600s, and had four great apparitions. The name of that nun was, she's a canonized saint now, her name is Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. Okay? He appeared to her. So, maybe some of you actually have a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home. At least half of you do, okay? All of you should, okay? Okay, now, that picture you had basically comes from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Now, the artistic depictions, if you Google in Sacred Heart of Jesus images, you're going to get right away, you're going to have 50 different images. Some are kind of corny, others maybe just downright ugly. Some are gorgeous, though. Okay? Some are corny, no? Or beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as they say, right? We all have different artistic tastes, no? Some of them, those images are going to be just downright beautiful. But that comes from the apparition to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And it's very different than Divine Mercy. Not to say that they're in competition with each other, okay? There's no competition in Jesus among himself, okay? But Divine Mercy, the heart is within. And that's a huge difference. You've got the Divine Mercy there, the heart is not outside, the heart is within. Whereas to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the heart is outside. Right? And the heart is outside. And if you look at the heart, there's a lot of things you can say about that heart symbolically. Number one, the fact that the heart is outside the body of Jesus, Jesus purposely wants us to be able to see his heart. Seeing it visibly is important. Now, if the heart's inside, we know it's there, but it's hidden. But when the heart's outside, it's very visible. Now, the heart is red. Okay, the heart, you're going to see in the heart, you're going to see wounds. Or you're going to see those wounds in the Sacred Heart of Jesus are symbolic of the sins of mankind. Also, you're going to see around the Sacred Heart, very often you're going to see thorns. Thorns. Now, the heart is much more delicate than your knee. Okay? The heart is very delicate. So being surrounded by thorns, if I just look at that meditate, I cringe just to see that. I cringe to see it. Because if that heart is exposed to thorns, and the thorn touches that heart. Yeah, I've done a lot of work before becoming a priest. One of the works I did was cutting grass and garden work. You know, not that I was a professional gardener, but I know this. Pulling out weeds, I have touched thorns, and sometimes the thorn has not done anything to my hand. Because my hand is stronger, it's more calloused. But if you touch a thorn to a human heart, what's going to happen? It's going to penetrate it. And that heart is going to bleed. So it's not just one thorn, it's surrounded by almost like a crown of thorns. And what does that mean? That Jesus suffers not just by one sin, but many sins. And if you look at it, you're going to see drops of blood that are falling from the heart to the ground. What does that mean? The many sinners that have not turned to Jesus for forgiveness. The drop falling on the ground is those sinners who have heard the voice of Christ, but they purposely have turned aside. They've played the deaf. Now on top, sometimes you'll see a cross. But almost universally on the top, you're going to see fire. Why fire? Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth. And I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. Fire symbolizes the great love that Jesus has for the whole world and the great love that Jesus has for you. Now, almost universally, okay, when you were maybe in first grade or second grade, did you ever get a Valentine card? Well, we all did, right? Maybe you had a crush on a little boy in first grade or kindergarten, and you sent him a little card, and he didn't send it back to you, and you suffered for a week, huh? Right? You had a little crush on him, you thought that he was looking at you and he loved you, you thought you were the most beautiful princess in the universe, and you sent him a little card and you're waiting for a couple of cards from him, nothing came. Okay? Well, what do you mean? So the heart is a universal symbol of love. It is. So now and then it's a good idea to contemplate art. And I'm just giving you a symbolic, literary interpretation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, after my explanation, how could you possibly look at an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and not be moved? Now, because of the fast-paced world, obviously you never thought about this. Because you never stopped to think about that. And I'm not an art major. I'm an English major, but I'm not an art major, but I have a little bit of common sense. I'm saying this, not that I read, but I've got a good head on my shoulders and able to use a lot of common sense on artistic interpretations. What would happen if you spent an hour on that, praying to the Holy Spirit, praying to Mary? You probably may receive more inspiration than I've already given you right now. But we have to stop to reflect and think. Stop, reflect, and think. If you like the word, meditate. Ponder in your heart, like the Blessed Mother. Right? Mary pondered in her heart. We see that where? The shepherds, and after Jesus is lost and found, after 3 days. Okay, now, Jesus promised to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, those who are devoted to the Sacred Heart, Jesus gave 12 promises. Now, these promises are very consoling. So I hope that after this talk that we'll all have a great love, not only for Divine Mercy, we've been talking about that the past year, but also we'll have great love for the Sacred Heart. And as I said, they're not in competition. Like Our Lady of Fatima is not competing against Our Lady of Lourdes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our Lady of Guadalupe is trying to kind of fight against Our Lady of La Salette. I mean, it's the same person, right? So Divine Mercy and the Sacred, it's the same person. The Divine Mercy emphasizes the mercy of Christ. The Sacred Heart emphasizes mercy, but also, what's the word? Reparation. Reparation is a little bit different. And if you know what reparation means, it means if we sin, we have the moral obligation in justice. Got a lawyer here, in justice. We have to try to repair for what we've done. And pay now or pay later. Okay? We pay now by acts of penance, fasting, reparation, and then we go right to heaven or spend maybe some time in purgatory or resign ourselves to a long time in purgatory. Okay? Do you want to do that? Yes, Father. Well, I want to go right to heaven. I don't know about you. I'd like to go right away. And I'm praying that when I die, I go right to heaven. Is that presumptuous? No, it's not. God wants all of us to go right to heaven. So all of you want to go to purgatory. Okay, well, that's your choice. Go there, okay? I think we should want to go to heaven right away. Amen or oh me? That deserves an amen, huh? Not an oh me, but an amen, right? So, Jesus said this to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque and us. I will give them all the graces necessary for their state of life. Are you married? I will give you the grace to be a good mother and a good wife. That's what it means. You're a father, two daughters, and you got your wife, that will help you become a better father. I'm a priest. Do you know what my vocation is? I have a double vocation. Do you know that? No, Father, no. I have a vocation. I'm a religious. And I'm a priest. I have a double vocation. Well, it's a double blessing, but a double responsibility also. I say that with fear and trembling. As a religious, what? I've got, I have the vows. I have my founder. I have my charism. I have my community. I have my apostolate. Then I'm a priest. So there's two different, there's a double vocation in myself. So if I promote this, as I'm trying to do tonight, Jesus saying, I will give you the grace necessary to be a good priest and a good religious. Amen. Hey, amen. I like that. Lord, help me to become a better priest and better religious. That can be my prayer. Can you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Okay? We have some young people here that will give you the grace to be a better brother or sister. That's an old me, huh? Maybe a better student. That's your vocation. Not your vacation, but your vocation, okay? Okay, we're on vacation, Father, no? Your vocation. Okay, next. How many of you live in a family? Do you have absolute peace in your family? Number two, I will establish peace in their families. That's a promise. And that's a promise from Jesus Christ. So, okay, let's try to use a little bit of logic. One of the reasons why there's lack of peace in my family is because the Sacred Heart of Jesus is not the center of your family life. I'm expounding upon this a little bit more, but I'm reading in between the lines. Or I'm turning a sentence into a couple paragraphs, or maybe a half a page. Certain sense, there you are in the family room. There's going to be a fight. All of a sudden, you look up and you see the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus looking at you. Oh, sorry, Tony. Sorry, Therese. Be surprised at the power of an image. Poor Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Poor born-again Christians that say that we're practicing idolatry. How sad. It's not idolatry, is it? No, we love what it represents. I've given you that definition already. Huh? Father Tim Gallagher, who some of you were in his seminar about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I like to just listen to some of his podcasts when I'm in my room. Remember one talk he was giving on desolation. And have any of you ever visited my confessional? If you look up on the wall, I've got two of my favorites. I've got John Paul the Great, and I got St. John Bosco. Those are my models as a priest. Not that I'm aspiring to be a pope one day, but I just like John Paul II, and I admire him very much. But I don't think any of you know, in that picture, John Paul II is actually embracing a man. For me, that's symbolic of the prodigal son. Do you know who that person that John Paul II is embracing, Tony? Do you know who he is? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Okay? How's your Polish? Probably as good as my Swahili, right? His name is Wyszynski. His name is Wyszynski, and he was the primate of Poland during the time of Hitler. Okay, of Adolf Hitler. And so he was the head of the Polish church, under which was John Paul II. Well, both of them did not see eye to eye. John Paul was considered of a more of a liberal bent, and Wyszynski was more conservative. So they didn't really... They didn't really get along well perfectly, if I can be as kind as possible in my language. So there at the conclave, who's there is Wyszynski, who's elected? John Paul II. So after that, Wyszynski comes up, and he kneels down to John Paul II. John Paul II, I think he knelt down to him. He tried to lift him up. So that was a gesture of reconciliation. I think Wyszynski is a servant of God, on the way to becoming canonized also, which means this was a holy man. Now, he was arrested by the communists. Because just aware, a little bit of history, the Nazis invaded Poland, then they left, then the other side, the communists came in. So they arrested Wyszynski, who was the most powerful primate within the church. He was in house arrest. And so he was on house arrest and he was in profound desolation and he's walking up the stairs. And on the wall, he looked and there was a beautiful image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As soon as he saw that, all of the fears were taken away because he was consecrated to Mary. I don't have to say anything more. That's the purpose of our consecrations. Now, if that image, it could have been Our Lady of Częstochowa or Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I don't know what image it was, but it was just an image of Mary in the wall where the commies were. He looked at that, and all of a sudden his fears disappeared. And he said to himself and sighed, well, I belong to Mary. I belong to Mary. We can apply that to the image of the Sacred Heart. We belong to the Sacred Heart. Amen? Amen? So I will establish peace in their families. Has it ever happened that you have a world war waging within your heart? No, I have. Never had like interior turmoil within your heart? Maybe confusion. Now don't fake it. We all have that, okay? We all have that. Hey, talk to the Sacred Heart. Tell them to help you to overcome that confusion. Ask the Sacred Heart to unravel that interior ball which is causing you so much suffering. Ask them. In other words, enter into an Ignatian colloquy with the Sacred Heart. Third promise. I will console them in all their troubles. Wow, isn't that beautiful? I will console them in all their troubles. None of you went to Mass today? How many of you went to Mass? Okay, the Gospel would be Matthew 11, right? Matthew 11, 15 to 20. If you want to, maybe be like a Protestant, okay? Matthew 11, 15 to 20. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Father, I thank you. You have revealed these mysteries to little ones. Thus it has pleased you. Then Jesus goes on to say, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I am meek and humble of heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that passage. I've got it memorized, right? Almost verbatim. No? I love that passage. And that passage is paradoxical. What does that mean? It seems to be a contradiction. Paradoxical. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've got to be honest with you. I've always been a city boy. Okay? And I probably always will be a city boy. I don't know too much about farming. Father Dave, Father Bill Newbecker are farmers. No? You ask them, oh boy, they know a lot. I'm a city boy. But I have a little bit of common sense. Oxen, maybe you've seen in the Philippines. Say, maybe 50 years ago, they didn't have the modern infrastructure or machinery that we have today. What about 50, maybe 60 years ago? So an ox, or plural oxen, there's the plural of ox, oxen, they would have a yoke. And the nature of the yoke would be this. Heavy and cumbersome. Okay? Spanish, pesado y incómodo. Okay? If you want a good translation, en español. Okay? So it'd be heavy. Piece of wood heavy, but also cumbersome, which means it'd be uncomfortable. So even the best of the oxen to adjust, to have it perfect, perfection doesn't exist in this world. So Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's very, very contradictory to the nature of farmers. Now, how on earth can we interpret that? I'll tell you. That yoke is symbolic of the cross. Did the cross that Jesus carried, was it heavy or light? Easy or cumbersome? Piece of cake or burdensome? Now, did you ever have a cross? Did you ever have more than one? What happens when you have your cross and you try to carry it by yourself? It's bigger and bigger and bigger and more painful. And you arrive at a point where it's just you can't support it anymore. What happens if you decide that you want to share that cross with someone else? The name of that person is Jesus Christ. Is there a difference? Well, try to imagine this. I have to carry, say maybe 150 to 200 pounds of cement from here to the Church of St. John of God. Anyone know where that is? Okay, you're a guy from Orange County. You just take Pioneer and you drive about 5 miles, right? About 5 miles, you're going to arrive at a church that's called St. John of God. So what I would do, I'd get Bruce and Gerardo and Tony and Matthew also. Matthew, okay? And I would get them to help me to carry that sack of cement. And eventually when they start to carry it, I'd maybe kind of back off and let them carry it themselves, right? I would encourage them, saying, you're doing a good job. So the whole idea is when we share our burdens with others, the burden is much lighter. Did Jesus carry the cross all by himself? Say no, Father. Okay, he didn't. No, it was Simon the Cyrene that helped him out, right? Right? And once that happened, the cross was lighter. So that's the interpretation. He says, I will console them in their troubles. So Jesus will console you in your troubles, and often he'll do it in a way that you don't expect. Often Jesus will not take the cross away. He can take it away. And he can take it away just like this. Instantaneously, Jesus can resolve your biggest cross, just in a, like that. But often he says, no, that's not the way it's going to happen. I want you to have the cross, but I want to help you. And that sometimes is better. Because otherwise we can become lazy. We can become complacent. We can give up the struggle. Sometimes when we're struggling through problems is when God is closest to us, even though he appears sometimes very far away. You'll understand that as you get older and when the cross has come. Next, they shall find in my heart an assured refuge during life, and especially at the hour of their death. What a consoling promise number four is. I repeat, they shall find refuge in my heart. An assured refuge during life, especially at the hour of their death. Interpretation? When it seems as if everything is falling apart, nothing seems to make sense, life seems to be absurd, life seems to be, in Argentinian expression, una broma de mal gusto. How do you translate that one? A sour joke, huh? When it seems as if everything seems to be useless. A sense of futility. Well, in that moment, go in front of the Sacred Heart and, can I use a New York expression? Spill your guts. No. I don't think they say that in California, so I'm going to give you a little bit of New York language, huh? And the Lord, even on your spilling your guts, no? The Lord loves it when you do that. He spilled all of his blood on the cross for us, right? You know, if you don't open up and talk it out with Jesus and Mary, maybe a good confessor, you bottle it up, and that turns into depression. Turns into depression. A lot of people are depressed today. They're bottling up. Encajando, they're bottling up all this interior pressure. Know what a pressure cooker is, or even any of that? Pressure cooker. Well, maybe try to do this. Tony make me do this in front of your mom. Shake a good can of Coca-Cola, a bottle, and open up for your mother. No, and give her a nice shampoo, huh? So if we do not let it out, then that turns into depression. And we depress everyone with whom we associate, no? So at the hour of your death, your refuge is going to be the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. Are any of you afraid to die? All of you are ready to die. You're all ready. With your conscience totally in peace, everything is in order, you're ready to go to heaven. Hello? Probably not. But if we keep cultivating this trust in divine mercy and the sacred heart, hopefully when we die, we're ready to meet our Maker. The Lord will say, well done, faithful servant, welcome home. Well done, faithful servant. Hopefully those will be the words that our Lord will say. Fulton Sheen says this. It's kind of saying that he was not so much afraid to die because he said this. When he dies, he goes before the Lord. Jesus will say, I know someone who spoke very positively about you. You spoke about her. And all of a sudden, he points to someone and it's the Blessed Mother. Ah. When did you promote devotion to Mary? So I really trust when I die, and hopefully when you die, that Jesus will say, I know someone who speaks very positively about you. And this person is very important to me. And her word is my word. And he turns, it's the Blessed Mother. It's Immaculate Heart. Ah. We as oblates, we really try to promote devotion to Mary, right? To the max. What would happen if the Jehovah Witnesses started to come to some of the homilies and preachings of the oblates, no? Wouldn't they just love it? Maybe they'd be converted, yeah, who knows, yeah. Number five. I will pour abundant blessings on all their undertakings. I like that. I will pour abundant blessings on all their undertakings. After I receive communion, one of my prayers often is talking about it. I say, Lord, bless all of our works. My work, because I work. But my work is your work. And you're the head. You're the general. I'm the buck private. I'm a lieutenant. I'm the captain. Stop saying that, Father. That's pride. No, just stay as a buck private. Okay? Okay. As long as I'm in the army of Christ the King, that's good enough. Huh? Amen? You want to be in the army of Christ the King? You want to be the king or the servant? Glad you said that. So before you undertake something, ask the Lord to bless your undertaking. Go to the Sacred Heart and ask Him to bless your undertaking. Some of you pray the Psalms with us in the morning. Remember that Psalm? Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. You say it two times. Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. Ask the Lord to bless our undertakings, the Sacred Heart, and He will, if we trust. Number six. Sinners shall find in my heart the source of an infinite ocean of mercy. I love that. Sinners shall find in my heart the source of an infinite ocean of mercy. Any of you ever been in the ocean? The Atlantic? I am. I'm from the East Coast. Yeah. How about the Pacific? It's right down there. Huh? You ever look at the ocean and try to see to the very end of the ocean? Is that possible? Of all of God's creation, the ocean is one of the most immense. Because it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. So when Jesus gave this image to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, everyone understands this image. Sinners shall find in my heart the source of an infinite ocean of mercy. Doesn't that sound like St. Faustina? So there's a real parallel here, huh? When is this? 1600s, huh? Long time ago, huh? So the heart of Christ really doesn't change. Our understanding of it changes. God doesn't change. One of the attributes of God is immutable, which means that he doesn't change. And if God were to change, he wouldn't be God. Because he's going from imperfection to something more perfect. God is immutable and God is also perfect. So if you meet people that are despairing, and a lot of people are despairing out there, give them an image of divine mercy, give them an image of the Sacred Heart, give them an image of the Immaculate Heart. And those three little holy cards you can be giving out at will. Divine mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen? Number 7. Uh-oh. Are you ready? Are you? Lukewarm souls shall become fervent. I repeat, lukewarm souls shall become fervent. What is a lukewarm soul? And what's the rest of that sentence? Pretty strong, isn't it? Do you think any Catholics are lukewarm? Do you think any are not? That's probably a better question, huh? Church is asleep. We want to wake it up, huh? Church is asleep. Church is listening to a lullaby. And falling asleep, no in the arms of Mary, but in the arms of the devil. Isn't the devil lulling so many people to be living in sin, like living together, right? Giving up going to Mass on Sunday. 75% of the Catholics. So what Jesus is saying is the lukewarm, the tepid, the mediocre can get out of them that if they have what? Devotion to what? Sacred Heart. Jesus gives fire. He gives fire. Lukewarm. Any of you ever go to a funeral? Any of you ever go to a wedding? You know, weddings and funerals are almost the same. It seems if a lot of people in the weddings are more dead than the guy in the funeral. No response, no? The Lord be with you. Really? It's sad. They're dressed up for the party afterward, right? They're dressed up for the party, for the social event, but the sacrament, they could give a darn. Sad. Very sad. Church is a sleeping giant. You people are called to wake up people. First, we have to be awake, huh? You are called to set the world on fire. You are called to start little fires. You know these, what do you call these, forest fires in California that go from San Diego all the way up to L.A. County, all the way up to Ventura County, you know, heading up to, you know, Camarillo. Started out maybe just a cigarette butt, or maybe just a match. Or maybe, are you a Boy Scout? You have like a broken Coca-Cola bottle, and then the sun is coming through, and that serves as like a magnifying glass. You got a dry leaf there. What do you have? Got a fire. Got a fire. So these huge fires that go on thousands of acres started with maybe a little match. All of you start with something small. Then build and build and build and build and build. Start with a little spark. Hopefully you'll have a conflagration. There's a big college word, right? What does that mean? Conflagration means a huge forest fire. Start with a spark, but then build. You know, one of the greatest men we had in our country was an only son, and he had lost his father when he was just like a little boy. He died in the year 2000. He's already a servant of God. One of the greatest Jesuits in the United States. Not St. Ignatius, no. John Hardin. Yeah. Read his life. Yeah. He, only son, his mother lost her husband when I think he was almost 2 or 3 years old, and she decided she was going to dedicate all of her time and energy to making her son a saint. And one day he's going to, hopefully he'll be canonized, one of the canonized American Jesuit saints, a model for all priests. Remember when he died in the year 2000, I was reading an article in the National Catholic Register, it said like he was a one-man Catholic army. I mean, he did everything. He gave retreats. He wrote books, articles, started the Marian Catechists, had about, I had talks up until about 5 years ago for 20 years that the Marian Catechists asked me to give in about 1998. And I gave them a series of talks, which is basically a 30-day retreat. But this man did so much, but his mother decided that she was going to start a fire in this one little boy. And he set a fire in the whole country. So start fire. Let's try to find people that are maybe asleep. Wake them up. Wake them up. Lukewarm to fervent. Number 8. Still awake, or are you putting you to sleep? You're not asleep yet, okay. Fervent souls shall speedily rise to great perfection. Wow. Fervent souls shall speedily rise to great perfection. You people are fervent. I think you are. If you're faithful, you're holy, you're going to be fervent. Or you're going to arrive even higher and higher and higher and higher. That's the promise. I will bless the homes where an image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. So some of you have the image of the Sacred Heart in your home? So it's in the attic, okay, or the basement, or it's in the garage behind the six-pack of beers, is that where it is? That's where it is? No. It has to be in a prominent place. What does that mean? A prominent place. A place in which everyone who comes in the house knows that he's the king, okay? So get it out of your basement and your attic, okay? A prominent place in your living room, okay? Then, I will give to devotees of my heart the power of touching the most hardened hearts. General confessions, huh? Some of you know some family members that seem to be maybe very hard, very far away from God. Almost seem to be lost souls. You say basket cases. I mean, where's this guy heading, no? He's on the highway to hell. No, nothing's stopping him, no? It's not true. There's still hope. The hope is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then Jesus says, those who propagate this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be effaced. I love that. I'll read that again. Those who propagate this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be effaced. So I'm praying tonight that my name will be written in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because I'm promoting it, no? Do any of you want to start to promote it? Your names are going to be written in the Sacred Heart of Jesus for all eternity. Wow! So that when you're in heaven, any soul walks in front of Jesus Christ, they'll be able to see your name written in the very center of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's a promise. Jesus is faithful to his promises. And finally, the all-powerful love of my heart will grant to all those who shall receive communion on the first Friday of 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They shall not die under my displeasure, nor without receiving their sacraments. My heart shall be their assured refuge at that last hour. All of these are beautiful promises that God gave to St. Margaret Mariella Cook. Hopefully, these promises are going to fill your heart with a lot of peace, joy, and consolation today on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. May Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay, Mary's going to be giving you an article they wrote in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Read it so you can become apostles of divine mercy, but apostles of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.